said just now. That's all right then, good. There was a time when we had to do it without all of this. So anyway, the Lord knows all about that. But I want to actually, those of you that know the writings of Tozer, he was a great preacher, American preacher in the last century, and he said it as it was. I love reading his books. They're always a challenge and an encouragement to me. But he was talking about the river of God, and he was just saying that sometimes we look back in our lives by faith, and we look back in our own experience of the past, in the past centuries and in our own lives, being filled with God. And then we look forward with hope and expectancy for God to inhabit our future. We as Christians have a testimony that he has in the past blessed us, and we look forward to something in the new. But very often in our experiences, we are not aware of his presence now. We feel sometimes very much alone, very much that God isn't as real to us as we would actually like him to be. And he said it was being like this on the banks of a river. The river is flowing past, and you can look to the left and see the river coming towards you, and you can look to the right at the river going on. But we've got to be aware that actually the river is there at the moment. It's flowing through our present time. And we have to remember that, and remember that it's the same river that flowed yesterday that is flowing today and is going to flow in our future lives with the Lord. And with that in mind, I'm just going to read a couple of verses from Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four riverheads. It then gives the names of the different rivers there. And it said that one went to the whole land, around the whole land. Another one went around the land of Cush. Another one went to the east, etc. And the fourth one, the river Euphrates. But we see there in the Garden of Eden, at the very beginning of the Word of God, there is a river in the Garden of Eden. You go all the way back to the book of Revelation in chapter 22. And what does it say there when John has his revelation of heaven and the future, etc., etc.? And he says there, now I saw a new... Oh, sorry, I've got the wrong chapter. Let me turn over here. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And so you have the river at the beginning of the Word of God and the river at the end of the Word of God. And in Eden, the river went out to water all of the earth as it was then. We're talking about the time before the flood and Noah, etc. And we know that in the scripture, there are many types and symbols. And a type or a symbol is a person or a thing or an event that represents something else. And from the very beginning of scripture to the very end, the river or the water or the streams in most passages, many, many passages, are a type or a symbol of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, equal with the Father and equal with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's intention, the intention of the Godhead, is that the Holy Spirit would be like rivers of living water. And the Bible begins with this, and the Bible ends with it. As I say, we've just read those verses in the beginning of Genesis. I'm just going to put this down a bit. In the beginning of Genesis and at the end of Revelation. And the Lord says also that he will visit the earth. Says the psalmist, says, Lord, you visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich the river of God. And the river of God is full of water. It's a full river, not a trickle. It's a full river. And in Psalm 36, it says, they are abundantly satisfied, that's us, with the fullness of your house. And you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. And when you trace down through the scriptures, down through church history, that river has always flowed from heaven above. And in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were taken out of the promised land and they became the people of God at that particular time, you know that they went through wilderness experiences. They came to Marah, where the water was bitter and the Lord healed the water. But then it goes on to say, they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water. And that's where the Lord blessed them and saturated them and encouraged them that they might move on again to the next phase of their experience. But then they came again to a place where there was no water, to Horeb. And they moaned and complained about it. But the Lord, in his graciousness, he said to Moses, "You shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink." And there was a miraculous miracle. A miraculous miracle is a miracle, isn't it? And it says in the psalmist that he opened the rock and water gushed out of it and it ran in the dry places like a river. So this is a type of the Lord, yes, satisfying them naturally. They would have died without the water. But it's a type of God, the Holy Spirit, who in our desert places, in our times of need, etc., he satisfies the cries of our hearts, and that water runs again. And many of us have had times of desert experiences, spiritually speaking, where we haven't felt the presence of God, we haven't felt that the Lord was close to us, we felt not much good at all in our Christian experience. But there comes a time, brothers and sisters, many of them actually, when the rock seems to be smitten and the water gushes out and it runs in dry places like a river again. And we are seeing something of that now. Amen? We are seeing something of that now. God is beginning to do something very precious. But the promise wasn't just for the wilderness. The promise of the water, the promise of the river, was for the promised land. And in Deuteronomy, the Lord says that he would bring them into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. He's talking about an abundance here of water. So what is this river? What is this water? In the wilderness, the rock was significant or a type of Christ. We're told that in Corinthians. All drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. We don't understand sometimes the typology and everything, but the rock was Christ. The river, the water that sustained them in the wilderness was natural water, but it was also spiritual water. And that's what it's like in our Christian experiences. It's all about the Lord Jesus. It's all about the Holy Spirit. And of course, it's all about the Father. Jesus in the wilderness was the water to them. He was the river of life. He's the well of salvation. He's the streams that make glad the city of God, the psalmist tells us. And he said this in John 7:37. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. You know he's talking spiritually. Out of his belly, his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. That is a promise for every one of us, every born-again believer that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of our innermost being, there's going to flow rivers of living water. That's our experience. But what does he go on to say in verse 39? But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Spirit was not yet given. One minute he's saying, come to me and drink. And then he's saying, it's speaking about the Holy Spirit, because Jesus went back to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit might live in each one of us, and that within each one of us, just as the children of Israel in the wilderness were satisfied with the waters, each one of us is going to have a well of living water in us that will sustain us day by day in every situation and circumstance. And that is the Holy Spirit. I'm coming to realize more and more how much I depend on the Holy Spirit, how much I want to know him, how much I want to fellowship and commune with him. And he has been the one that has been neglected in the Trinity down through church history. Not always, but he is equal. He is God. He is God, the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and the Father. The Holy Spirit came to carry on the work that he had begun in the life of the Lord Jesus. He's the water that will become in us a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life. He's the river that flows out of the temple that Ezekiel saw. He's the river that produces the fruit with trees along its bank that also Ezekiel saw in his vision. So I want to go back to the Garden of Eden again. I just want to ask some questions. How did, and this is what it says, every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, how did every tree receive its life source to do what God intended it to do? Every one of those trees that had fruit, where did it get its life source to produce the fruit, all the different kinds of fruit, to do what it was meant to do? And I want to remind us that we are trees planted by the rivers of water, the rivers of life. How did the tree of life, from which Adam and Eve were supposed to eat, but they didn't, how did the tree of life in the midst of the garden survive and not shrivel up, if it was actually, because they were told not to eat of it. Not to eat of the tree of knowledge, but the tree of life was to be theirs. So it was obviously a tree that had some sort of fruit. We don't understand the mystery of it all. How did the tree of life survive in the garden? Well, it was by the supply of water. It was by the supply of the river of God. And we know that in symbolic terms that Jesus is that tree of life. So I want to bring it back to when the Lord Jesus Christ became a man. He laid aside not his deity, he never stopped being God, but he laid aside his attributes, he laid aside his power, his might, etc., etc. How was he as a man able to do what he did and be what he was? Where was his source of life? Well, we're told he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He was filled and anointed with the Holy Spirit. And the river of the Holy Spirit was within him. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. And then he goes on to say what he was to do. So, another question. Where is our source of supply in our gardens of the Lord? Because in the Song of Solomon, it's likened to the garden where they have fellowship together. And he comes and he wants to receive the fragrance and the aroma of the trees in this the woman's garden, the work of grace in her life. So where does that water come from? And he says, you are a fountain, springing up in a garden, a well of living waters and flowing streams from Lebanon. We are that garden of the Lord, where the Lord comes and has fellowship with us. So, another question. Where is this river now? Now, the psalmist, way back, I believe it was David, said this. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. And we know what the city of God is. We know about Zion because the city of God is Jerusalem and was Jerusalem, is Jerusalem, and it contains Mount Zion, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High God. And we know in Hebrews, Ken was reading in chapter 12 there at the beginning, but at the end of that chapter it says, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels, to the church of the firstborn. We know spiritually that is a type of the church. We are now the people of God. There's no longer the physical in that sense, but there is the spiritual church of God, and we have come to Mount Zion. For all the types in the Old Testament, Zion is a type of the church, and we've come to that. And there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, and that's for every one of us. There's a stream for you, there's a stream for me, there's a river that's flowing that will bless the church of God. And it's interesting, as far as I'm aware, that Jerusalem is the only major capital and city in the world that is not based near a river or the sea, which is most unusual. So if Jerusalem doesn't have a river, what river is the psalmist referring to? It's the river of God, the spiritual blessing. And do you know what one of the meanings of the river in Hebrew is? It means to sparkle, to be cheerful, to be lightened. I'm looking around at faces. Are you cheerful? Are you bright? Are you lightened? And it's for irrigation. Jeremiah 31:12 says this, "Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion," and we've been doing that this morning, "and they shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord." And it goes on to say, "their soul shall be as a watered garden." There's been a flow of the Spirit amongst us this morning. God is here in our midst. And that Hebrew word simply means the movement or the flow of a river or a stream. But again, it also means to be radiant. It means to shine, to glow, to beam. It describes a person glowing, beaming, radiant, overjoyed about something or someone. Now, I want to bless you with the word this morning, but you know what I'm like? I want to challenge as well, and I'm challenging myself. Am I always beaming? Am I always radiant? Am I always overjoyed with the Lord, rejoicing in the goodness of God? I'm not, but I want to be. And that's what the river of life, that's what the Holy Spirit actually does in us. We've got to look different, brothers and sisters. We've got to be different. If we love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our hearts, our souls, our bodies, etc., etc., surely it should show in some way in how we are, how we conduct ourselves, how we look, how we behave. There is a mighty flooding river flowing through the New Jerusalem that should bring joy and brighten the burden, etc. And we flow together to the goodness of the Lord. Now, that river flows through many channels, doesn't it? We're all different here. But the essence and the quality of the river is the same. The river never changes, actually. The problem is that sometimes the vessels are a bit polluted, a bit clogged up, and the river can't actually flow as clearly and as strongly as it would really like to. Sometimes the vessels can be contaminated by doubts, by fears, by worries, by murmurings and complainings and discontent. And it would seem that the river isn't as clear as crystal as it says in Revelation. That the water is always the river of life. The Holy Spirit never changes. So what is the river made of? What are the components? What's the properties, the fundamental nature of this river? It's the river of God. So it's a river of holiness. It's a river of righteousness. It's a river of purity. It's a river of integrity. It's a river of power, of love, peace and joy. You name it. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the gifts of the Spirit. It's the water of life. And that river, and I've mentioned this at times gone by, that river has flowed through many, many people down through the centuries. It's flowed through Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Samuel, David, Isaiah, the prophets, Elijah, Elisha, Peter, Paul, men and women down through the centuries. So where did they get their spiritual life and power and anointing from? It was through the river that flowed through them, the river that would be out of their innermost being. And as I say, it began in Eden, but it's flowed down through the centuries all the way, and it's flowed through people. It flowed through towns, through churches, through cities, through situations and circumstances. So where has it been? Well, it found a man called Enoch. and it flowed through him as he walked with God. And then, you know what happened? It changed its course, and it took him up to heaven. And he didn't have to stay in this evil world longer than he needed to. And then it found a man called Noah, who was righteous in his generation, and who found favor with God, and it flowed through Noah. And because it flowed through Noah, it brought salvation to him and his family and the creatures of the earth. Then it found a man called Abraham who wanted to drink from rivers other than the rivers in the Ur of the Chaldees. There were beautiful rivers. The Euphrates was one of them, etc. But his longing was for something more in God, and he wanted to drink of another river. And he went out with the flow of the river and lived in faith and continued it. It found a man called Moses. And where was Moses drawn out of? He was drawn out of a river so that God could take him, that he might flow actually in another river. And he saw miracles coming out of that rock in the wilderness. It found a man called Samuel, a man of prayer and integrity. And Samuel the prophet could hear bubblings and soundings of that river that maybe many other people didn't hear. And he could hear it flowing silently when he silently anointed David with the oil. But then it flowed in a miraculous way that when there was thunder and lightnings at the time of the anointing of Saul as king. And then it found a man as well called David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And many aspects of the river flowed through David, but the music and the poetry of the river was revealed by him and in him so that he was able to worship and praise the Lord. And that river is still flowing today. Have there been others who have known the effects of the river in their lives? Of course there have. There have been many Enochs and Noahs and Abrahams and Moseses and Davids and all the rest of them. Tozer said in another book, nothing of God dies when a man of God dies. You of the next generation, when we're all gone, God is still the same. And you can find more in him than you've ever known, and even perhaps more than we've ever known. Nothing of God dies when a man of God dies. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And you know, church history records all the different lives of men and women that have done tremendous things. So let's go back to those that I mentioned. The same river that flowed through Enoch continues to flow and is still flowing through men and women who open themselves up, or their spirits up to that spiritual realm, who live and walk in the spirit, who visit the heavenly realms in prayer and praise and worship, and they see spiritual revelations like John the Baptist, John the Apostle did. It's all the singing and all the preaching. The same river that flowed through Noah, and he was the preacher of righteousness, that same river can flow through us. And we have a responsibility to share the gospel, don't we? That we might be preachers of righteousness and see people coming to be saved through that river, the Holy Spirit. The same river that flowed through Abraham, who is called the father of faith, has flowed and is still flowing through Christians today. And you know, in some countries, he's flowing very powerfully. He has to, because of the persecution that they face and the terrible things that are happening. We have it easy in this country. That won't last long. We know that. We can see the chain taking place. But he was a preacher of righteousness. The same river that flowed through Abraham, the father of faith, is still flowing through us, still flowing through men and women who live by faith and walk by faith, and we're called the children of Abraham. The same river that flowed through Moses, who was called what? The friend of God. And God made his ways known and to Moses, and that river is still flowing today. The same river that flowed through Samuel, prophet, the seer, the man of God, has continued to flow and should continue to flow through prayer and prophesying, through preaching of the word, as long as we offer ourselves up like he did as a young boy, probably about 12, between 12 and 14, 16 years of age. And you know, that same river that flowed through David, I thank God for this, the man after God's heart, has still flowed through worshippers, the ones that will praise the Lord with all their heart. And we have music. We sang a new song this morning. There are those that God raises up, and the spirit of the of water runs through them to compose new songs that we can have. What I want to say, all that God has ever been, he is today and ever will be. It's no good looking back and thinking, well, I wish I lived in Abraham's day. I wish I lived in Moses' day. I wish I lived in David's day. I wish I lived in Jesus' day. No good looking back. The river is still the same, and we live today, and we have to drink of that. So again, some questions just for us, rhetorical questions. How aware am I of the river's presence? How aware are you on a daily basis of the presence of the Holy Spirit? Not around you, but within you, because where is the river? How aware am I of his power for holiness and godly living? How aware are we of his power for ministry and service? How aware are we of its effect on me and on others? How often do I myself drink of this river and this water? How often do I bathe my spirit in its cleansing power? How often do I bathe my spirit in its peace and joy? See, if a river stops flowing, it ceases to become a river. And the river of God must keep flowing through the vessels that he has chosen. Sometimes it will be slow and it will be constricted. It was like that in the Dark Ages until God brought forth with the men like Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation, etc. But there have always been men and women who have walked with God. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart, his innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. The Amplified says they will flow continually, and they will be alive within us. I'm conscious of the time this morning. There's much to be said, but I just want to give you some scriptures as well. The water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. It will be flowing and bubbling. But we're also told in 1 Thessalonians, do not quench the Spirit. Don't stop the flow. And in Ephesians, don't be drunk with wine, but be being filled with the Spirit. So what is it that makes the city of God glad? What is it makes the church of Christ glad? What is it that makes us happy, joyful, victorious in tests and trials? And we've been singing about those this morning. We are in a warfare. Who is going to help us to overcome? What is going to help us to overcome? It's the river of life, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of power within each one of us. Jesus promised us abundant life, and he's given us the Holy Spirit that we might experience that abundant life. And it's the river and the streams and the brooks. When Ezekiel had his vision, he saw the river coming from the sanctuary and the throne of God, and it went and it got wider and wider and wider until there were rivers to swim in. I don't know about you, I don't want to paddle in the river of God. I want to swim in the river of God. Living waters, it says, shall flow from Jerusalem. And there was a king called Hezekiah. And there was no water in the city at one particular time that they could have. And it says that he made a pool and a tunnel, and he brought water into the city. And the name of the river, or part of the upper one, was Gihon. And that word in the Hebrew, they say it means the river of paradise, to rush forth. And to the Jews at that time, it was like the rivers of paradise coming into their city at a time when they needed it. Isaiah prophesied a few things about this river. Waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. We need these rivers. We're in a desert in our land. We know that, and it's getting worse. Things I've seen or heard on YouTube, I look them up about different things, different ministers, different people, state of the church in our nation, and it's pathetic. It's pathetic. And there's a challenge, because if it doesn't, things don't change, brothers and sisters, it's going to be a real desert in our land. We know that. But he says that rivers shall flow from Jerusalem. And then he says here, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water, individually and corporately. I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. There will be rivers in the desert. And he says, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. All the brooks of Judah, Joel said, shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord and water the valley of Acacias. Jesus said, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And one last verse from the Psalms. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So the application of this, to bring it to the conclusion, out of every one of us individually, there should be a river of living water that is flowing to one another and to those around us. Out of us as a church, there should be, there must be, a river of living water that will flow on and on and on. I thank God it's been flowing, actually. It's been flowing for many years. Might have felt like a little bit of a drizzle sometimes, a little bit of a trickle, but it's been flowing, and I believe the momentum is getting more and more and more. We have to be ready, brothers and sisters, and we need to swim in those waters. We need repeated fillings of the Holy Spirit, and the wonder of it is that God wants to give and give and give again, not in trickles. We are trees planted by the river. The apostles were trees planted by the river. And when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, my word, that river was flowing, and they saw the fruit of it. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. Paul wrote to the Ephesians that they might know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And in John 1 it says, and of all his fullness we have all received. Amen. Amen. In the words of that hymn, or not hymn, a song by Terry McCalmon, how we need the river. How we need the rain, living water, flow to us again, we pray. Shower down your glory, shower down your grace. Let your holy presence fill this place. Holy Spirit, I just want to thank you because your word is so full of you. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, from the very beginning to the very end. You were flowing and you still are flowing. You've flowed, Lord, through so many men and women, and we bless you for that. And we just want to say, flow through me. Holy Spirit, please, I don't want to neglect you. I don't want to put you to the side. I want you, Holy Spirit, to take your rightful place. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing what you did for us on Calvary. I thank you, Lord, for saving us and giving us an inheritance. And I want to thank you, Lord Jesus and Father, that you sent the Holy Spirit to continue that work. And so we just want to present ourselves as individuals and as a church. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Do a new work, I pray, for your glory. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. And I trust you have a really precious week this week.